Good morning. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, and if I forget, remind me at the end to ask you guys a question, okay? And hopefully I won't forget. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. Okay, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. And we're talking again about the scriptures. And yesterday we talked about the power of the scriptures, you know, as living and active. And today we see that the Lord commands us that we should be diligent students of God's word. You know, if you haven't figured this out yet, the Bible commands us, it is a command, commands us to be students of God's word. You know, this is not just a book that we have, or, you know, it's not just some ideas on a page. This is God's word. You know, and as a believer, as a Christian, you know, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to be a student of God's word. You know, you need to read it not just devotionally, you know, not just to get a good thought for the day, or, you know, to get a good idea. You should read it and study it like you're a student, you know, that you're serious about things, as you would go and study, you know, art, or, you know, study history, or study, you know, whatever disciplines you've had, you know, in school. You know, in the same way that we should come to the scriptures, you know, with that same kind of tenacity. You know, and he says here, he says, be diligent. You know, continue to be diligent. Be a person that, you know, really goes out of their way to really get into God's word. You know, to study it, to meditate on it, you know, to apply it into our lives, right? That you know, and it's not so much, because I don't want to get you into now the other mindset, because I want to bring a little balance to this, right? I'm not saying go and buy 10 commentaries, you know, and sit there and go through the commentaries. And you can, and it would probably be helpful for you, but you probably won't understand most of what you're reading, you know, and things. And so, I'm, you know, sure, you can do that. But, you know, our teacher is the Holy Spirit, you know, and he can reveal truth to us. And he can really speak into our lives. In fact, really, I mean, the teacher is Jesus. You know, remember in Acts, you know, Luke is telling us about why he wrote the book. And it says, you know, my dear Theophilus, you know, I'm going to give an account of all that. And the key is that Jesus began to do and teach. See, Jesus never stopped teaching the church, right? He began it when he came to earth, and he's never stopped. You don't see any time in the Bible where it says that, you know, he stopped teaching the church. He says he began, you know, to teach, you know, and he's still teaching. Jesus is our ultimate teacher, you know. And again, as I've shared over the last, you know, last week and this week, you know, when you come to the scriptures, you know, the first thing you should do is ask the Lord to give you revelation, you know, and not necessarily like, you know, some deep thought or you know, this is like a trap that a lot of young pastors, myself included, got into. I felt like every week I needed to get a new revelation. You know, sure, they've been studying the Bible for 2,000 years, but I don't care. I want a new revelation, you know. I mean, I want something that no one else ever got, you know. And I used to put so much pressure on myself, you know. And, I mean, it was, you know, sometimes ran myself ragged, you know, doing that. But then you realize, you know, as you read Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, all this stuff, you know, everything that we've said is, you know, someone else said it. You know, and probably someone else said it much better than the way we can say it. You know, and you realize that, and then you get to the understanding that, you know, when you see Jesus and you realize that Jesus was actually the most unoriginal person on the face of the planet, right? Remember what he said? He says, I only do what I see the Father doing, right? So he was the biggest copycat you can ever imagine, you know, and things. And so it's not necessarily about getting a new revelation, you know, or a new idea or a new thought, but it's getting one for you. You know, it's really what we're talking about is getting fresh bread, you know, for us, each of us, to live our lives. So we study the Bible. I'm going to give you just a really quick, you know, lesson on how to study the Bible, okay? Number one, there's a few questions that you should ask when you read the scriptures, okay? Number one, you should ask, who's speaking, right? Is God speaking? Is Luke speaking? You know, is Jesus speaking? Is a Pharisee speaking? You know, is it a demon that's speaking or an angel? You know, and so, you know, first and foremost, right? I mean, you guys have taken literature classes and whatnot. You know this stuff already, right? So who's speaking? And then you recognize, well, to whom is he speaking to, right? And this will really help clarify a lot of questions that you have, right? Who is he speaking to? Is he speaking to the church? Is he speaking to the Gentiles? Is he speaking to the Pharisees? You know, is he speaking to the nation of Israel? Is he speaking to the whole world? You know, and sometimes, you know, obviously, you know, a lot of times when he's speaking to Israel, he's speaking to the whole world, or he's speaking to the church. You know, is he speaking to a city? Is he speaking to an individual person? You know, and you understand all that's going on there. And then this is like the art of studying the scriptures is the why of it. Why is he speaking to them? Why is he saying what he's saying? What are the circumstances, you know, about, you know, what he's, you know, speaking to about? I mean, what's going on, you know, historically? What's going on in the city? You know, what's going on, you know, and like the letters, that's why a lot of people like to study the letters, because it's pretty straight out, right? I mean, Paul basically says, I'm talking to you, man, you know, and this is why I'm talking to you, you know, and so we can, you know, that's why, you know, it's quite easy to study the letters, but some of the other gospels, you know, or the gospels and some other parts may be a little more difficult, like, you know, I mean, how many guys have ever really feel like you've grasped the book of Revelation? You know, I mean, I studied it for, you know, for a long time. I mean, I've done Bible studies on it, and I still have no idea what he's saying. You know, I mean, I have some idea, but it's still, honestly, it's still a mystery to me, you know, but that's okay. You know, we don't have to understand everything, you know. And then you put this together, and then you understand the context, you know, what's going on, you know, what is he saying before and what is he saying after the text? This is probably one of the most important things when it comes to studying the Bible, is to understand context. You know, you don't want to just take one scripture, you know, and build your whole theology around it. And I've seen people do that, and you're going to get into error eventually, because like we talked about last week, there is unity in the scriptures, right? And so you can't really just take one phrase or one verse and build something. What is he saying before? What is he saying after? You know, and then try to, you know, get into the accuracy, you know, of the text. And then for us, you know, in our own lives, then how can I apply this into my life? So that it's more than just a thought, you know, it's more than just a good idea or a good verse. Well, how can I apply this into my life? You know, how can I, you know, get the scriptures, you know, and really, you know, kind of draw this in into my own life, and how can I grow as a result of this? I mean, kind of real simple. Who's speaking? To whom is he speaking to? Why is he speaking? What's the context? You know, especially dealing with what's before, what's after, and kind of the unity of the scriptures. And then how can I apply this in my life? You know, I mean, this is very, very simplistic, okay, and stuff, but I think this is a good start. And you could probably do most of the work, you know, kind of dealing with this, all right? Now, tomorrow, what I want to do, and this is the question that I want to ask you, tomorrow I want to take one passage of Scripture, you know, or one, you feel like there's a problem Scripture or whatnot, and I want to just take that and do what I just talked about here, you know, and you know, the word is to exegete the passage, right? And so is there one that you guys particularly want, you know, that you thought about, or a problem passage or something like that, that we can tackle? Just throw one out, right? We'll deal with it tomorrow, or maybe we can even do it right now, if the Lord gives me grace. Anyone have something that you read and you're like, what in the world is this guy talking about? Speak up. Yeah.
I don't know the exact reference, but there's a passage in Exodus, and God's basically just giving the Israelites a bunch of rules, right? And he talks about slavery, you know, and he says something like, slaves, you can beat your slaves because basically they're your property, kind of thing. And I was just wondering, why would God do that? You know, like...
Yeah. Oh, dude, that's an easy one, okay? No, because now you have to understand, right? When we talk about slavery in 2010, or even, you know, from, you know, the 1900s or whatnot, it's a different kind of slavery than what you're seeing in the Old Testament or even the New Testament, right? You know, it's, you know, like we see the brutality and we see, you know, all these things happening. That was not necessarily the slavery that's this depicted in the Bible. You know, and there's actually, you can find pretty decent books on this topic because obviously it's a huge thing, especially, you know, in the African-American church, right? And so, you know, slaves in, if I'm getting my facts correct, and I'll double check this, but slaves, you know, in the days of the scripture were not as low class as, you know, we see in our time, you know, where they were stolen from, you know, different things. Obviously, there were some instances in the scriptures where people were in war, right? And, you know, like the Israelites were slaves, you know, in that way. And so there are some instances where people were captured, but most commonly the issue of slavery was very different than what we see today. And so the problem that we'll make a lot of times when we go through the scriptures is that we'll take our modern day idea of what's happening and we'll impose it on, you know, the times of the Old Testament, right? You can't do that. You can't even do that in our history 20 years ago. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like the way I grew up, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm 42 years old and like, you know, the stuff that I went through, I can't impose that on your generation because it's so different, even over such a short period of time. It's just so different. You know, and so we need to be careful to, you know, address an issue that's in the scriptures in light of the times of the scriptures, right? And then you kind of go forward in that way, right? Yeah.
I heard that before, and that wasn't so much a problem. But my question is, God still has a different standard for how people should be treated. And I don't know if there's an answer, right? But, you know, like, he still says the slaves are your property, and there's a different standard that he puts upon how you should treat a regular person, you know, like a not a slave, and how you should treat a slave. In terms of, like, physical, like, if you treat them physically badly, you know, if you, like, hit a normal person, you should get hit back, kind of thing, like an eye for an eye. But if it comes to slave, it's like, well, if he doesn't die, it's okay, kind of thing.
That was more the question.
Yeah, like just even the idea that God would put a different standard on how one should treat a slave and one should treat a person. Because we talk about equality of humans and stuff like that, right? But I don't know if that's, like, maybe not true. I don't know. That's my question.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I've never really seen it in that way before, right? And stuff. So let me get back to you, right, on that one. Yeah. Yeah, I think the application really requires the Holy Spirit speaking to us, right? You know, like for one, you know, how do you get application from the book of Leviticus, right? I mean, I could barely read that thing, you know, and all the rules and all the, you know, and so I'm going through my study and whatnot, and then one day just God just speaks to me, right? And ultimately just says, you know, just thank me for Jesus, because now you don't have to do all this stuff, you know. And that was the really big application, right? You know, and so it's really allowing the Holy Spirit to, you know, to enter in, you know, and really speak to us about how to apply the word into our lives. Sometimes it could almost have nothing to do with the text, you know, or you just get one little thing and then it kind of jumps out at you, right? And so, you know, it may not be so easy, you know, to see, you know, on the surface, but there's something there. There's always something there, because remember, we're when we read the scriptures, we're going to meet a person. And I think just that kind of shift changes a lot of different things, right? So, anything else? Any, like, any passage of scripture? With the last one, and then we'll pray. What about him? He's the high priest? Yeah. Well, Melchizedek is just what they call a type of Christ, right? And so it's he's a foreshadowing, right, of the ministry of Jesus. You know, that's basically just the link, right, in the line of Melchizedek. It's like there's a lot of have you heard the word type of Christ, right? You know, there's a lot of type of Christ in the scriptures. Like, for instance, Abraham and Isaac. Isaac is a type of Christ. You know, he's a foreshadowing of the ministry of Jesus. You know, you think about Isaac is the son, right? He goes to be sacrificed. You know, he carries the wood on his back. You know, he goes up to the hill Mount Moriah, right, which is Calvary, right, same mountains. You know, and you see all these similarities, and it's a foreshadowing of the ministry of Jesus that comes, right, and stuff. And so you read it in that context. And the Bible is full of these instances of a prophetic foreshadowing of Christ and his mission and his message, right, and stuff like that, okay? Wow, you guys... Yeah, I was actually looking for like a scripture, right? Maybe we'll do women, right? I thought that'd be an easy one, you know, that you guys would be interested in. Why does Paul say women should be signing the church? I mean, that's kind of the stuff I was looking for, but you guys had some random questions, and that's okay, right? So maybe we'll tackle that tomorrow, right? We'll talk about women speaking in the church. Because, you know, I mean, if you think about it, then as a church, we're committing some blatant sin, because a lot of you guys speak at church, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, we don't want to be in sin, right? And so there must be, you know, some explanation. And so we'll get to that maybe tomorrow or Friday, right, after we talk about slavery, you know. It's a crazy issue. Okay, let's pray. Remember, no, let's not go back. We don't want this to turn into the Bible Answer Man or anything like that. But go back to, you know, our original. God commands us to study his word. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a student of his word. And it just makes sense, right? Because the revelation is in the scriptures. And if you fall in love with someone, the first thing, right, that you do when you fall in love is you get to know that person. You get to know what that person likes, what that person doesn't like. You get to know their family. You know, I mean, it's a very common, typical thing. It's a perfect analogy. When you start getting to know, when you start loving someone, you want to know all about that person. Well, when we start loving Jesus, the way we learn about him is through the scriptures. You know, when you love him, and then you want to learn about his family. His family is the church. And so we're commanded to study God's word, to be students of God's word. And so if we're not studying, then I think there's a problem. I think there's a problem with the relationship. Just in human relationships, if you don't want to spend time with that person, that's a problem, isn't it? If you don't want to know what that person is thinking or doing, or I think that's a problem. How many of us have been in relationships, You know, and the person just blows us off all the time. Doesn't feel so good. And you realize, wow, this relationship is in jeopardy. Many of us think that we have a relationship with God, but we're just kidding ourselves. So let the Holy Spirit speak to us about relating to Him through His Word, His written revelation. He's given us all things pertaining to life. And as Mon leads us in a song, let's just think on that. Let's pray first and foremost. Let's pray for Hong Kong. And you guys probably saw the news and the incident that happened in Manila. You know, let's pray for just God's grace and protection. Let's pray for the families that suffered during this tragedy. You know, let's pray for the gunman and his family. I'm sure they're going through their own hell as well. And let's pray for God to cover. Let's pray that, you know, even relationships with Filipinos would not be affected negatively. But sometimes it gets so easy to blame, you know, people and governments and all kinds of things. And, you know, we mourn with those that we mourn. that are mourning, and let's just pray for God's grace and comfort to come over this whole situation. Just so incredibly sad. Let's pray for the families and, you know, the families here in Hong Kong, the extended families, and people that are affected by this tragedy. And let's just ask the Lord to cover and somehow, you know, redeem the situation. That's something only God does. I don't know how, but it's something that He always does. And let's pray for the Lord to do that in this instance. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for Etta. They're making their funeral plans right now, and you know, a lot of stress and a lot of pressure, and you know, a lot of questions. Let's just cover Etta and her brother. Pray for God's grace and comfort to come over them. Pray for Marcia's sister-in-law, who's pregnant and who's has a tumor. You know, and pray for God to heal her and bring forth that baby, a healthy baby into this world. Pray for Soyun's dad, who's going to have surgery on Friday to remove a tumor. Let's pray for the doctors, their skill, and pray that the dad and the whole family would just trust in the Lord in this season. Pray for James's sister as she battles through cancer. Pray for Yuli's dad as he goes through rehab from his stroke. Let's ask the Lord to just touch our community that's going through different illnesses and sicknesses, and pray that the Holy Spirit would just lead and guide these families, and they would really draw near to the Lord. Let's cover. Let's pray for our retreat coming up in about a month. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon us. So pray for our speaker, Dan Sneed. He just emailed me, and he says all the preparations are going well. He's excited to come. Just pray that God would just give him the fresh bread that we need, just the word of the day, you know, for each one of us individually, but also as a body as well, that he would just speak prophetically into our lives. And just something wonderful would happen as a result of that. So let's just lift up the retreat before the Lord. Let's also pray for our house church season that's starting soon. Right? Pray for our 12 house churches. 11 are the same. One is different. And so let's just ask God to just cover us and just really bring His grace into in the next few weeks as we gather together as a people of God. Let's pray that we would just allow ourselves to be vulnerable before each other and to really grow and to challenge one another, and just love and community would just really flourish in each of the house churches. Pray for the leaders and ask God to just protect them and equip them during this time, and just for the favor of the Lord to come. We also have our house church leaders meeting on Sunday night, and we could also pray for that as well. So just lift up this next season. Lastly, let's pray for our building search and our building fund, and ask the Lord to continue to just cause our church to be generous and overflowing. Let's pray, you know, for this next few weeks. You know, we're working on something right now to hopefully move into something early next year. And let's really pray for favor and grace and just divine open doors, and, you know, I mean, just real... God, to really do something. This is not going to be a permanent, but just a temporary solution, you know, so that we can have more space. And pray that God would just really come through. And there's a lot of different factors at work. I can't really share everything with you guys right now, but let's just ask God to really come through and do something for us and just really claim that space before the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we bless you today, God. Lord, we thank you for the living word, God, that's in our hands and also in our hearts, Lord. And we ask, Father God, that you'd allow us and help us, Lord, to become students of your word, God, to love the scriptures, God. Lord, that we have a deep understanding that it's life to us, Lord, that it's the bread that we need to eat every day. And so bring us into a relationship with your word through the Spirit, God. And so we thank you, Lord. Watch over us, God. Watch over Hong Kong. Lord, bless this wonderful city that we live in, God. Lord, that you would do something supernatural, even through the tragedy, God, even through the turmoil and everything that goes on, God, that you would, Lord, have your way with us, God, as a people, as a city, God, as a country. Lord, we commit this day to you, God. We pray that, God, in many ways, Lord, that we would glorify Jesus in all that we do. Thank you so much, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.